come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. And for people who want common sense guidance on how to build green and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Send an email. The Mighty House crew is on the job. This is Mighty House.
All right, we're back. And today we're going to talk a little LVT flooring. Some pretty cool stuff. I've been playing with it for years, but it just came into Rich's realm of construction for the first time in a long time. So we're going to talk about this and see what it's all about. Before we get started, make sure you subscribe, dingle on the bell, that way you get notified next time we post a video. And of course, you can go check out our podcasts at any of your favorite podcast places. You can download it, and you can go to mightyhouse.net, find everything right there also. So, all right, LVT tile.
It comes luxury in a
bunch
vinyl.
It comes in a bunch of different patterns and styles. You can make it look like wood, tile, all that fun stuff. And so what's your first impression now that you've installed this stuff for the first time in a long, long time?
Well, so my thing with it was, it wasn't, you know, I've been building like multi-million dollar homes, so we don't put a lot of vinyl tile in.
What?
But I know over the years I've seen improvements in the products, but I just recently had a small job to knock out, a little tiny office job where I had to, that's what they wanted, and I went to the store and started looking more for the color than whatever.
Yep.
And I was absolutely blown away with where they are with this now.
It's not the old Pergo anymore, man. It's not.
Oh, and I did Pergo years ago, and I think that's what screwed me up. And again, that's a brand name, but back in those days it wasn't snap lock, it was edge glued, butt glued, and it said it was waterproof or water resistant.
Right.
Water. You put down a bead of glue on the joint, you'd put the thing together and you'd stand back and it'd swell at every joint.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm sure this is gonna be really good when water hits it. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, and
so that's marketing. This, however, is a floating floor.
Yep.
If your slab will, if it's going over concrete or over raw wood, if you put water droplets on the slab or on the wood and it absorbs the moisture, you do not need an underlay. If the water sets, then you need to add an underlayment that is a little more absorbent, which is almost backwards to your normal thinking.
Sure.
But the product I used was almost a quarter inch thick, rubber backed, floating.
Yep.
And this picture that you've got up here is actually cool because in their instructions, it tells you that to put it together, you put it at a 20 to 25 degree angle.
Sure.
If you go to 45, all you're doing is riding the edge. If you go flat, it won't lock in. About 20 degrees, 25 degrees, that line goes right in. Pull it over tight to your end.
Yep.
Take your rubber mallet with a sacrificial piece upside down, couple of taps, and
boom,
next piece, please. Boom, done. I was shocked how nice it went together. And I mean, and I did a stagger, so which will come up.
But you can see the patterns in here. That it's all different. It's not like the old stuff that we used to install where it was the same pattern. It was always repetitive, same color.
Always repetitive, yes. I went through 8 cases, and I don't remember seeing 2 pieces that truly looked alike.
Right.
Which was really strange.
Right. So here's your thickness that you were talking about.
Yeah, so that was the other thing. So, of course, the job I was doing, like a lot of people, we don't want to spend a lot of money.
Right.
Okay. Do you either spend some – if you don't want to spend a lot of money, that's fine, but let's spend some money and do it once.
Correct.
Right? We don't have to go to Cadillac when an Oldsmobile will do, but we're sure as hell not going to put a Fiat on the floor. So basically what I found out was looking around, the wear layers went anywhere from 5 mils to 20 mil. And now this chart up here is not in mils, it's in millimeters. So we did some math for you. The 5 mil wear layers were running $1.50 a square foot, which unfortunately most people will jump at.
Right.
The 12 mil is running 250 a square foot, and the 20 mil wear layer is running closer to $455 a square foot.
Right.
So what is a mil? So a 12 mil wear layer that runs around 249 a foot.
Uh-huh.
0.3048 millimeters.
Okay.
Well, most Americans aren't used to the metric system.
Right.
But a millimeter is, tiny.
Right.
12 mils is one third of that. If you go to a 20 mil floor, which is a lot more money, that's 0.5 millimeters. It's half a millimeter. So it's 0.20 millimeters more.
Sure.
So we were laughing about doing this stuff, and I was doing the math, is that when you convert to our system of math, in inches,
yeah,
they both come up as 1/64th of an inch, because it's such a small amount that they can't even go to 128 or an extra 32nd or whatever. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yes.
So the 12 mil, which is going to be more in your middle, 4 millimeter to 6 millimeter, heavy traffic.
Right.
Stay away from the cheap, but you don't necessarily have to go to the commercial.
Right.
So I think the 12 millimeter wear layer is probably good. And I was pretty happy with the stuff I got. And I bought it at a box store. I mean, this is a job for a favor for a friend in an office. And I slept in a few hours. Installing it was so stupid easy. It was just stupid. Like, utility knife, score it three times, snap it off, cut the foam off the back, and lay it down.
Yeah. So, and here's a picture. You can see he's going over the existing floor tile.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go over an existing floor. If it's flat, it's not breaking up, then you just go right over top of it. And here we were talking about this. He's snapping the first couple of rows together, and then I'm assuming he's going to push that up against the toe kick.
Is that before or after he cuts out for the toe kick on the dishwasher, which is 3/4 of an inch proud of the toe kick?
I know. And why isn't he going under it? But anyway.
Well, he could do that, but doesn't. Yeah, whatever. I get why he's doing it. If you're going to push it forward, that makes sense. But
yep.
He also has one fancy ass cutter.
Yes. So there's one of the tools right there. We have yet to get one of these laminate cutters. We still use a knife, but these are really nice. You can also rent these at the big box stores and at your rental centers. You need a basic square and a tape measure.
Yeah.
And you can see a hammer, and then he's got this pound as this tap block here. But
yeah, I just took a piece of the flooring, a scrap piece, turned it upside down, and hit it with a rubber mallet like this guy.
Yeah. So there you go. So you just tap.
But now this guy's got a jigsaw.
Yes.
Who uses a jigsaw? We have oscillating cutters that make straighter cuts faster.
This dude's old school.
Yeah, that's old school.
And this
I have the same DeWalt jigsaw. I hate that thing.
This almost
yeah, it's nice. Tap it tight and smack her down.
Yep. So here, let's talk about these patterns, because I see this a lot, and this is where you can tell the pros from the amateurs, and that's how they stagger their patterns. I have seen this walking into homes where all the seams are exactly in the same length.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do that. You also don't want to just offset them by 6 inches.
Also seen guys do deck boards like that.
Yes.
Both of those.
Exactly.
That even distribution, the very first one. So the stuff I used was 7 inches by 48.
Yeah.
I prefer a 1/3 stagger, because then the math is easy. 16, 32, 48.
Yeah.
But what it also does, and what you don't realize, is because if you do the half joints like the last one,
uh-huh,
if one of your rows is off, you're going to fight that kind of kink or angle through every course. This 1/3 gives you a lot more ability to tighten the floor up, hold things tight, and you don't notice the floor pattern when you walk in a room.
Right.
That's the big thing with that.
And what
is even more staggered than, like you can see, like they're not doing 16, 32, 48. They're a true stagger.
Right.
And that's actually great too, because it saves you material. You get to the to the wall on the right, that cutoff, that's your first piece on the left.
It's exactly and what I do.
That's your stagger.
Yep. And as long as it's 6 to 8 inches long, that's my cutoff, then that's what I start with. And then I make sure that it's at least 10 to 15 inches away from the seam, you know, that's in the row that's already done.
Yeah. I think what got me more than anything else was a 4 foot material in a 12 foot room.
Oh, so you were just like click, click, click.
Well, that's why I had 16, 32, 48. Those are my cutoffs. You know what I mean?
So, right.
But you walk in that room, you can't tell, but I agree. The staggered end joint is definitely good.
Right. And so here you can see, here's a different one. Here's the offset exactly the same. It's the stagger. And then, because these are all just stepped exactly the same. So then here's your true stagger right there.
Yeah, and it's funny because I think what I did, we'd call it more like the stair step. I mean, a little more like that being 16, 32, 48.
Yeah.
But again, my material, the joints are so invisible. So if you had a product, particularly the snap lock, like a Pergo with the wood, where they have the built-in dust groove. You know, if you have that dust groove, that's going to show a lot more. Where a lot of the LVT, like this floor, you don't see those grooves.
Yep. But you can
see. But again, this floor also, because of the two different colors, I mean, the huge variation, you surely wouldn't want to do an end joint. You wouldn't want to do an even. This has definitely got to be done on a true stagger. Otherwise, it looks like hell.
Yes. So I like this picture because you could actually see the pieces and how they staggered it and what they were doing in there. So this came out pretty good. So would you recommend, now that you've used it, would you recommend it to the average homeowner that maybe doesn't know a lot?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, given the cost difference between doing your own ceramic or porcelain tile, given the underlayments and all that, and the product I use says it's 100% waterproof. And I can put something in the comments later when I take it out of the bucket later. I like to see what happens when you really soak it in water. But I think it's beautiful. I mean, when I built my house, we talked about doing it to save money. And my guy came through for me and got me porcelain for the price that he was going to charge me for LVT. But no, I think it's gorgeous. And it's crazy, the styles, colors. You know, it's one thing to go to the box stores and you're going to get a good sample.
Right.
But if you go to an actual flooring store and see what's really available, it'll blow your mind.
Right. So if you want that tile look, you can get the tile look. It's just snap and click. And the same with the wood. So they've got a lot of variations and styles that you can do. This is great for in a basement.
Particularly basements, anything below grade. You know, the stuff now is all, they say waterproof and so on. And I can see that.
Yep. So we have had this flood after we've installed it. And we went in, unclicked it all, dried it all out, and put it all right back down. So it works out really good. Mark your boards so you know where they're going. But so you know, but
put a Sharpie.
Huh? Yeah, exactly. No, take a row out, you stack it. Take the next row out, stacking it in order, and you know, put the fans on the floor, let it dry for a couple of days, and come and put it right back down. And it's durable. So in a high traffic area, it works out excellent.
Well, this is an office and a bar, so I know it's going to get abused.
Sure.
Thus the wear layer thing. You know, I could have saved them $1 a square foot, but they may have had to replace that floor in a year.
Right. So
that's why I say, don't just buy by price. Think about what the abuse is going to take. I could have saved you $1, saved you $150. But if I got to do it next year, are you saving anything? Because you're going to rip it all out, replace it all. So by spending $150 more now, you could probably get 5 years or 6 years, you know, on high traffic. So
exactly. Right. There you go. All right. Make sure you click on that subscribe button, dingle on the bell, and you can check out our podcasts at any of your favorite podcast places to download. And of course, you can go to mightyhouse.net and find it all right there also. So until next time.
Keep it square and level.
There you go. Keep it square and level.